Welcome to the Successful Women Rock Podcast Show, where we share insights, experiences, and resources that help women be ready to be unapologetic and unleash the full force and magnificence of who they are. Because successful women rock. Now here's your host, Rhonda Y. Williams.
Hello, 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 everyone out there. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of Successful Women Rock Podcast Show. This is lucky episode number 2, where we are going to talk about unlocking your hidden fears that could be blocking your career or business success. My name is Rhonda Williams, and I am your host for the show. I'm known as the Dream Life Coach, and I am excited to bring you this conversation today. Today's show is powered by the Society of Successful Women. And who are we? The Society of Successful Women is an achievement-driven organization for women of influence. At the Society, we want to make sure that you have the tools, the resources, the education, the information, the inspiration, the motivation to achieve your dreams. So, if you believe you are ready to be inspired and accountable for achieving your next level breakthrough, we want you to stop by and visit us at societyofsuccessfulwomen.com. You can request an interview to see if the Society is a great fit for you. And now on to our show. So I am super excited today to welcome today's guest to the show. I'm going to be speaking today with the amazing Andrea White. She has an undergraduate degree in health administration and a graduate degree in organizational management. And she is the CEO of two coaching and consulting businesses, Elite Leadership Coaching by Andrea and Dream Plan Go, which I absolutely love. She has nearly 25 years of business and entrepreneurial leadership experience, has successfully worked with professionals, nonprofits, and business owners across the United States. She's worked with them through one-on-one coaching, consulting, workshops, keynote presentations to increase their clarity, confidence, leadership intelligence, impact, influence, performance, and profits. Andrea is super excited, on purpose, and fulfilled when she is able to serve others, create extraordinary events and experiences, and support people and businesses to be their best. Super excited. Welcome to the show, Andrea. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
That was just an amazing, amazing. I mean, I read your background and I get all excited just reading it.
So I'm like, who was that?
It's pretty awesome when you think about it. And I am so excited to have you on the show because we here at Successful Women Rock and the Society of Successful Women, we are all about helping women. We are about giving them the tools, the resources they need so that they can rock every aspect of their life and business. And so we're going to be having some of those conversations with you so that you can share with us your wonderful expertise and how they can do just that.
Awesome. I'm excited. I'm ready.
All right. So let's just dive right in. As we think about it, I want you to start by sharing with us sort of how you came to be into coaching and consulting with not one businesses, but two businesses.
I think just like a lot of other entrepreneurs, our entrepreneurial journey often has a foundation perhaps from a 9-to-5 experience. And so for both of my businesses, they are were birthed from my career experiences. And so Elite Leadership Coaching by Andrea is really a coaching and consulting company that works with, it works with professionals and nonprofit staff who are unclear or stuck and need help with clarity and confidence in building their leadership skills, position and income. And then Dream Plan Go really works with people that are stuck, not clear, or really afraid to start or elevate a small business. And so from the leadership perspective, Nearly every job that I've had in my career has been a leadership position. And in addition, I've had the opportunity in those positions to coach others. Mm-hmm. And so from that purview, I have witnessed firsthand that not many companies really invest in leadership development, for their employees, and especially in the workforce that we're in now, with so many people leaving, you know, due to retirement. We have new, you know, young people coming into the workforce. That was sort of the birth of Elite Leadership Coaching. And then just like I know what you experience with the people that, with the ladies that are a part of Successful Women Rock, Dream Plan Go is really set up to really inspire and motivate ambitious people that just need a little boost of confidence. They need to know where to start. They need to know how to build a plan to get their business going. So that's sort of where the two of those were birthed.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And you've been able to sort of see firsthand sort of the important. You said something that I think is really important, and I want you to elaborate just a little bit. My experience in organizations, and it sounds like your experience has been the same, is that organizations don't necessarily have the resources to invest in leaders at the level that they need to be invested in to be their best. And so do you feel it is incumbent on that leader to go out and seek that investment and that information in themselves?
And so I do. Twofold. I feel a little torn to answer that question because I actually went very early in my career. I had a company, WellStar Health System, to put together a leadership institute based off of really the national model that comes out of a lot of chamber of commerce in each city. It was an expensive program. It was a 12-month program. It was a deep investment in all of the participants. And there were about 30 of us. And it was so early in my career that it really, you know, kind of shot me off to the moon in terms of leadership, because I got that sort of coaching, mentoring, and skill development so early in my career. But once I left there, just each place that I went, there just wasn't anything. Mm-hmm. If you want to elevate in your career, at some point you have to make a decision. Are you going to sit back and wait for somebody else to invest in you? Or are you going to take the initiative and use the motivation and ambition that you have to really dig out what you know is sort of a greater leader, you know, inside of you? It's kind of a two-sided coin for me. I sort of celebrate those companies that really do understand the investment. And then for people that just aren't sort of employed or working with companies that have that sort of setup, then it is vital, you know, that you invest in yourself. And so I hope that answers your question. Yeah. I feel a little torn in answering that, because I was fortunate enough to be on the side of a company making a pretty significant investment in me.
Absolutely. And I can certainly see why you're torn in that respect, because it is also incumbent on businesses to make sure that they are not making these general assumptions, right? You elevate a person up from a general position to a leadership position, and then we begin to assume all of these magical things have happened to them, right? Oh, they know how to lead. All of a sudden, they know how to coach a poor performer. Right? They know how to inspire and motivate their team. Well, how do we know they know how to do these things, right, if we don't invest in them? And so I can definitely see why you're torn in that. And so let's dovetail this into our conversation about fears, because I wonder if, specifically for women, if it doesn't play into some of those hidden fears that we have because we have not received that that obvious level of investment and coaching and building, and we are in the dark sort of feeling our way around? And does that contribute to some of these fears and blocks that actually hold us back from the success we deserve?
And so when I think about fears, and I think about sort of clarity and confidence, one of the things that I know to be true is usually with the root of any fear is, you know, some type of experience. I like to call them movie scripts when I think mm-hmm. about it. It's like a movie script running in your mind in terms of, you know, it's something that's happened to you that holds you back, where, you know, you don't have the confidence that you need, or, you know, there have been sort of mantras that have been repeated to you over and over and over again, mm-hmm. You know, maybe from childhood all the way through adulthood. And so as a coach and consultant, one of the things that, you know, I work on with my clients is really thinking about those scripts and transforming them into new sort of beliefs and habits. And so I think it's really important as we begin to talk about fears, for listeners to understand, you know, you want to think back and reflect on maybe where some of those scripts and things that are running in your mind, where did they come from? And certainly from a coaching perspective, you know, typically we aren't counselors and psychologists. We don't necessarily help you sort of deal with the past, but we really focus on creating new beliefs and new habits for you to move forward. So I think that's really an important distinction for listeners to understand in terms of the root of a lot of the fears that we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. I love the analogy of the movie script. Because it brings to mind, gosh, what was the movie? Oh, Groundhog Day. Yes. Remember the movie Groundhog Day, right? Where poor thing, they could not get out of that movie loop. And then I saw another similar movie like that that's coming out here on Netflix. I think it's called Russian Doll or something weird, where she's like stuck in this crazy part of her life. But that movie script analogy is huge. And understanding what that script is and digging into it. And then, as you said, trying to understand where that came from, that's the hard work. Like you said, we don't go back as coaches. We try to help you, you know, create the foundation starting today so that you can move forward. But it really is important work that needs to be done, because rewriting that script is definitely work that we need to engage in. So as we think about sort of getting into these fears, how do I begin to recognize what are some of those common fears that I'm probably experiencing that I may or may not even realize?
So I think one of the biggest fears and one that we actually hear a lot about as it relates to women is sort of this fear of saying no. Mm-hmm. And it's actually one of my favorite things to work on with clients, because as we work through it, they go, yeah, like it's okay to say no. And I'm like, yes, it's okay to say no. One of the things when you think about, you know, the fear of saying no, typically for the person that has that fear, one of the things that I really encourage people to think about is, you know, what is the motivation in terms of, or what's the backstory in terms of what's going to happen if you say no? Is there a real consequence, or is it a perceived consequence? I think it's a joke. I don't know if other people will think it's funny, but in terms of, you know, what I had as a single mom of two young men, you know, that play basketball and all of the school and, you know, all of the things that go along with that, and a working professional, like at some point I had to learn how to say no to them. And so one of the gauges that I use, and it may not be funny, I think it's funny. One of the gauges that I use is like, if I say no to this thing, will it ultimately cause him to have therapy later on in his life? you know, is it that serious?
Right.
It's not that serious. It's okay to say no. And it's okay to say maybe not right now. It doesn't necessarily. So there are options. It may not be a hard no. And I think sometimes when people have sort of this fear of saying no, one of the things that they're also not doing is really opening up to the possibilities. And so it could be a hard no. It could be not right now. It could be a, you know, instead of this, can we do that? And so that's another sort of tool in your toolbox as well. Does it have to be a hard no? Are there any points of negotiation? Are the consequences of saying no, are they real or are they perceived?
Mm-hmm.
And so those are sort of, you know, some of the things that I really encourage people that have this sort of nagging sense of, you know, it's difficult for me to say no. You know, why is that? You know, are you seeking to prove something to people? Are you seeking to demonstrate your value that you don't necessarily have to demonstrate? And so there are a couple of different sort of pockets of things that you can look in as you think about, are you, you know, sort of struggling with saying no?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I you touched on some really important points and understanding your own. You said, is it going to cause him to need therapy? I'm thinking, is it going to cause the person to need therapy, right? Because they're the ones that's super stressed about saying no. And right. This is a conversation. I'm kind of like you. I really love this conversation because it's empowering. It's freeing when you know that it's okay to say no. And what I hear you describing is giving our clients and people that we speak with and women out there that struggle with this, giving them the tools and the structure for understanding how to say no.
Yes.
Right? Because, of course, just saying no with your hands on your hips and rolling your eyes, that's going to make anybody upset, right? But if you say no in a different way, like you said, maybe not right now, or, you know, let's negotiate on these points, or, you know what, I would really, really love to help you. I simply don't have the bandwidth right now. I really wish you all the best with that. And maybe talk to me a little bit later down the road. Maybe I can help then, or something, right? So how to say no is as important as saying no, I think. So I really love that part that you brought out in the conversation, because I think it's very valuable.
And one additional thing, if I can, really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I also did as I sort of began to really work on saying no, in particular to the, you know, to my children, because I think for women, if you are sort of in a family, saying no to your children can be, you know, a really difficult thing. But one of the things, once I made up my mind that this is something that I needed to begin to implement, it's something that I needed to practice, I actually sat down with both of my boys and said, you know what, things are going to be a little bit different. You mm-hmm. may hear me say no a little bit more. It's not, you know, to be mean or crass, or but I'm going to begin to start taking care of myself a right. little bit more. And that may mean sometimes that I have to say no. And so in any context, whether that is work, family, your community service life, if you are ready to begin to putting, you know, saying no into practice, then I also encourage people to begin to have conversations with people ahead of time. To help them to know where it's coming from. And usually when you are sort of, you know, in a good space and you're comfortable with saying no, you recognize that it's really important for self-care. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when you come from that angle, people really understand and will buy into that, you know, certainly a little bit better.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Comfortable with saying no.
Yeah, I mean, it's really your health, your well-being, your emotional health, right? Your mental health and clarity, all of those things. And so what are a couple of others types of fear, common fears that women face that hold them back?
So the other that's really common is asking for help. When I think about the fear of asking for help, it's usually, you know, two common foundations or roots to the fear of asking for help. The first is sort of this, need or desire to want to do it all. And again, that may go back to some scripts that are running through, your history and your past that drive you to need to prove to other people your value. And then the other common foundation is not really having a sense of clarity on what to ask for help with. And so, you have to check your motivations, like we just talked about with saying no. Are you trying to prove something to someone? Are you trying to prove your value? Are you trying to prove that you're worthy? And then as it relates to sometimes people don't ask for help because they don't know what to ask for, sometimes that requires just a few minutes of being still and quiet to think about what the issue is, what would help as the person that's experiencing the issue. Is it something that you need to know more about? Do you need to know something else? Or is there something tangible that you need? And so once you're able to get clear on what would actually help you, it's easier to ask for help, if that makes sense.
It does. Absolutely. No, that's great.
Have a question or comment for Rhonda? She'd love to hear from you. You can text Rhonda personally at 469-304-9970. And now back to our show.
Do you find that women also have this this fear of either failure or rejection?
So, of course. Yes, I think that is, ingrained in many of us because just as people, we are communal. We want to do things in community. And so whenever there's sort of this sense of failure or this sense of not fitting in, a lot of times the root of that is, just not wanting to be different from the community. And so in order to not fail frequently, that means that you have to do something different than everybody else. Right. And, if you have this fear of sticking out like a, sore thumb, being different from everybody else, that can keep you stuck in failure to move, failure to take action. You know what needs to be done. You kind of have an inkling of what it is that you want to do, but it's different than all of your friends. It's different than your family. It may be different than your faith congregation. And so it keeps you sort of, frozen in time and frozen in action.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. No, I completely agree with you. It reminds me of the quote, and I don't know if it's anonymous or if not, I don't recall who said it, about why are you trying so hard to fit in when you were born to stand out?
Yes.
I love that. And we're fitting in because we don't want to make waves and we don't want to. And if I go out here and do something different and on my own, it may not work. And then people are going to look at me and talk about me and say all of these things. And I find that when I'm dealing with fears, and tell me if you experience the same thing. When I'm dealing with clients who are dealing with fears, I find that we have to peel back these layers in order to get to the point where we're identifying that it's actually fear. It sounds like all of these other things. Do you find the same thing?
Yes. And so it looks like and sounds like I don't have time to
Right.
do that. Like, who's going to do that? I don't know where to begin. And so frequently the fear, comes out as something other than I am afraid. Like, it takes a lot of confidence to be able to say that scares me, or I'm afraid to do that. I'm afraid to take that leap. And so, how it comes out certainly is not that clear language. Like, I'm scared, I'm afraid, or ooh, that scares me. Usually, I think I share before, when I hear people say things to me, you know, one of the things that I'll say to people is, pull your toes in, pull your toes in, because I'm getting ready to, you know, step on them with love.
Yes.
You know, because ultimately what I hear you saying is, or will you think about, you know, the consideration that this is really a fear? You know, what do you think about that? You know, as opposed to just sort of laying on, you know, however it is that it comes out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so funny because people say, you know, when we say, well, you know, could it be that what you're dealing with is fear? And they say, well, I'm not scared, but, you know, I'm just saying it's not the right time. So, and that's real, right? We've got to deal with that because that's a real thing that we deal with and that we happen. One of the things that I encourage clients to do as they're thinking through trying to examine their rationale for their behavior and the underlying inability to move forward is to examine their language. If they're using language like, what if?
Yes.
Well, I should, you know, but, right? Or well, I would. And if they're using that kind of language, then I'm asking them to dig much deeper because there's some underlying fears there, right, that they're dealing with. And I just love the whole fears conversation.
Yes, I do too. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I go, oh, you're, you know, like, I never really thought about it that way. And, you know, once you can kind of get people to sort of, you know, admit to it to just a little bit, I mean, you can really take off with, you know, planning and steps and how to get people to move forward. And so if you can sort of get to it, you know, the quicker you can get to it, the better we can sort of get you to where you want to be.
Well, and that's a great segue for us because so we've got these fears, we're having this conversation, we're helping them understand where they are and how to move forward. And so how do we help them get clear so that they can confidently move forward? Are there some specific steps that they can take in order to do that?
So one of the things that I wanted, I enjoy so much of what I do. So I
awesome.
for saying that like many, many times. One of the other things that I really enjoy in supporting people is, you know, when people have sort of this inkling that they want to, you know, elevate in their career or elevate in their small business, you know, none of that is by accident. Those things are not just going to happen. It has to be sort of thought out. There has to be intention. There has to be, you know, a plan and goals and things of that nature. And so you have to be an active participant in your elevation. You have to be an active participant in the things that you want to see happen in your life. One of the things in my last sort of 9 to 5, one of the things that that I really just, you know, fought tooth and nail, probably more sometimes more for people more than for themselves, is this whole notion of just sort of sleepwalking through life. You know, as a coach and a consultant and a cheerleader, like, I want people to get up every day and feel good about what it is that they're showing up for. And while every day is not, you know, flowers and chocolates, like, I get that. It's not every day even for me. You know, I certainly want people the majority of their days to wake up and feel really good about what they're doing and not sleepwalk through life. And so I have some very key questions mm-hmm. that I ask people and we work through as we work on getting clarity and confidence. And so I'll share those with you. And so in order to not be a sleepwalker and to be really clear and confident, one of the first things I encourage people to do is to write down those things that have been some of their favorite tasks or projects, whether that's professional or personal or community service oriented. So write down some of those things that have been their favorite things to do. And those are like tasky kinds of things, favorite projects that they've done. And what that does is it gives a sort of a glimpse into your strengths. And so as we work towards clarity and confidence, we really want to build and enhance your strengths. And so a couple of the questions actually lend itself to that, and that's one of them. The second question that I encourage your listeners to think about is, are there any professional dreams, aspirations, or goals that they have not reached yet? And often when you haven't sort of reached a goal or an aspiration, you may have put it on the back burner. There may be some fears at play that are keeping you from sort of moving forward. And so as you're really intentional and thinking about those things that you haven't done, it provides a little bit of clarity. It may bubble up to the top for you again, energize you, wake up your motivation and ambition. And then the third question that I encourage your listeners to think about is, what do you do better than anyone else? And this is a frequent challenge for women in particular in terms of, you know, bragging, feeling really good, being able to say with confidence, I do X, Y, and Z better than anybody else. And so one of the places where this really shows up in working with clients is as I'm prepping them perhaps for an executive level interview or presentation, it's really hard for them to sometimes sell themselves really well. And so what do you do better than anyone else? And then what will it take for you to be able to share it, to say it out loud, to say it like you mean it, to say it with confidence? So that's sort of an A and a B part to that question. And an additional question is, what professional or personal values are you not willing to compromise at this time in your life? Again, when you're talking about clarity, it's always really important to understand what your values are. And so based on, you know, where you are in your life, perhaps family has to be really important, or perhaps travel is really important to you. Your time freedom is really important. When you know those things that are really valuable to you, it creates a boundary. And so you'll be able to say, I can do this, I cannot do that, because it goes against, you know, my professional or personal values. And then the last thing, last question is, what skills and responsibilities do you really want to use? And, you know, for the majority of your day. And so, again, not every day is a bed of roses and chocolate. But, you know, if you could have, you know, out of the majority of your week, what skills and responsibilities would just light you up? Would, you know, be motivating and energizing for you. And again, it helps to create just a clear picture of when you are thinking about finding a new position, or when you're thinking about starting a small business, or sometimes if you already have a small business, you may need to shake some things up. And so it helps you to be able to know how to direct those things by thinking about the skills and responsibilities that you really want to use on a daily basis.
I love that. I absolutely love that last one. And it's so thought-provoking because, like you said, sometimes we sleepwalk through life, and we sleepwalk through our professional life also. And we don't even realize that we're being just sort of pulled along this path because we're on it, and we find ourselves somewhere doing something the large majority of our time that we don't really want to do, but we hadn't really been intentional about being clear and thinking that through. So I absolutely love that one. So as we get close to wrapping up, as I am working with clients and women, and I want to help them, give them the tools, are there some key skills that you recommend that women have and invest in themselves in order to really help them advance and move forward?
So again, one of my favorite things, top skill for elevation, hands down, like I don't even have to bat an eye or think about it, is emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. Research shows, you know, time and time and time again, people with a high emotional intelligence blow people out of the water in terms of productivity, performance, satisfaction. And even from a personal standpoint, once I became intentional on working on my emotional intelligence professionally and personally, my sense of satisfaction, my sense of happiness, my relationships professionally and personally, grew stronger as well. Mm-hmm. And so there are four key areas for emotional intelligence that I want to share really quickly as we close up. So first up is self-awareness. And so this can be the tough cookie, but once you get through this one, the others really flow really well and, can be a little bit easier to get through. And so for self-awareness, it's just really the ability to accurately understand and recognize your own emotions. Mm-hmm. And so being able to understand, are you angry? I'll use that as an example. And if you are feeling angry, being able to understand why you are angry, and then being able to understand whatever that emotion is, what the triggers are for that particular emotion is really important. And so once you really work on really checking in with yourself, several times throughout the day, what am I feeling? Why am I feeling it? And what triggered that? You'll begin to sort of build your self-awareness and then you can go on with these next three parts of emotional intelligence pretty well. Mm-hmm. And so the second is social awareness, and that's your ability to be able to empathize really well with others and also having a sense of being in service to others. And quite certainly, as we think about empathizing with others really effectively and really well, that is really difficult to do if you aren't really self-aware.
Right.
Like you have to have a strong sense of being able to understand what's going on with you to be able to see and recognize what's going on with other people. Mm-hmm. And so the third is self-management. And that's the ability to be able to recognize those emotions from self-awareness and those triggers and being able to manage those really well, being able to communicate to other people perhaps what you're thinking and feeling and why. And so being able to control mm-hmm. those emotions, yeah. Being transparent, being adaptable, and being able to take initiative. And being achievement oriented are also subsets of good self-management.
Okay.
And then the last one is relationship management, which is really sort of the foundation of really good emotional intelligence. But the first three sort of that I've gone through so far really help you to have a really solid foundation with relationship management. So that means that you're really skilled in inspiring and motivating other people. You're really passionate and intentional in developing other people to be their best. You're using influence appropriately.
Right.
And sometimes you can
appropriately being the operative word, right?
don't do that the wrong way. Please don't do that. And then also real important is being able to manage change and conflict really well. And when you're able to do those things really well, really effectively, you build those skills, you're able to build bonds, teamwork, collaboration, and just really great relationships. And you're able to inspire and motivate and bring people along with you toward whatever goal you're trying to reach.
Wow. Those are awesome. Love it. Thank you so much. And you just went to a place that is so near and dear to my heart, because the platform, and as I work with folks that I use, is emotional intelligence, because so many times we have no idea the huge role that it plays in our life each and every day. We think we're just these very logical beings, right? It's all up here. We are emotional beings first. And so we need to understand how that plays out when you go to work, in your relationships, in your arguments or your conflicts with your family or others. So I love that how you broke that down. I think that was awesome and really important for us.
Are you tired of being held back by unrelenting judgment of others? Are you ready to build confidence and release the fear standing in the way of your purpose? At the Society of Successful Women, we have one goal: to help you achieve yours. Visit thesocietyofsuccessfulwomen.com to request your interview today. Now, back to the show.
Before we move to close, and I'm going to ask you for three key takeaways in a second here that I want you to share. But before we do, I want to give our audience a couple other things to think about in terms of moving past fear. Here's a couple of tips that I thought of that might be helpful. Number one, let go of the ending. Right? Let go of the ending. Don't worry about if you're going to, oh my gosh, they may be upset. I might lose. I might fail. Don't worry about the ending. Go forth, be confident, be passionate, and move forward. Be unquenchingly curious. Ask questions. Get all in the details, all in the nitty gritty. Sometimes that will help you overpower fear, because you're just looking to just dive in and you just want to know, and you have this need that's deep within you. Move towards your fears and not away from your fears, because our instinct is to back away when we feel fear. And when we do that, we have given the fear our power. And let me tell you, ladies, there is no giving away your power, okay? We are not doing that. And to use humor, laugh at yourself, laugh with others. You know, it's okay. Don't take yourself too seriously. And then I think this one is really important. Manage your risk by having a plan. If you're really fearful, like for instance, leaving your job, okay, that's a kind of a big darn deal, right? And so we want you to have a plan. Don't just step out there all crazy and willy-nilly, right? Absolutely. So as we wrap up, I love to ask each of our guests to present three key takeaways that you want them to walk away with, and two or three. So could you share your key takeaways you'd like the listeners to leave with?
I have one, really one, that okay. is the mother of them all, I think. And it kind of goes along with what you just said. I encourage people to take at least one step every day. Take at least one step every day toward, you know, your professional goals, or if you need to work on your personal goals first to be able to really elevate professionally or in your small business, take one step every day. And so again, like you said, you want to step into the fear instead of stepping away from it. The timing is never going to be perfect. There's never going to sort of be this ideal situation to be able to step into whatever it is, you know, elevation that you're looking forward. So I just encourage people to take at least one step every day. Some days you'll have the mental, emotional, and physical capability to be able to take a really big step. And then some days you don't. You know, it may be a really small step that you can take, but don't stop. What happens is when you are consistent in taking at least one step every day, it builds momentum, and that momentum builds clarity and it builds confidence. And so if you're taking a step every day and maybe that step isn't as successful as maybe you thought it would be, but that helps with clarity.
Right.
You learn what not to do. Right. But if you had not taken that step, you would never know that. So I just encourage people to take one step every day, 6 days a week. And on the seventh day, I always encourage people to find at least an hour. Women, especially for women, we have to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And so if you have to start small on this one day per week, maybe you start with 30 minutes where you are just sitting and you're reading a magazine article, you're reading a book, you're journaling, you're having a really good cup of hot tea or coffee, and maybe that builds to an hour, and then maybe that builds to half a day, and then maybe that builds to a full day of you being able to just do the things that you want to do to take care of yourself for that day. And so, again, it's not a all or nothing. If it's something that you need to grow into, I just encourage women on that seventh day to begin to take small steps towards self-care as well.
Wow, those are awesome. And I love that they're simple and practical and, you know, they're not overwhelming, right? They're not big, huge things where I'm going, oh, my gosh, I don't know if I could do that. Everyone can take one small step every single day. And imagine, you know, if you started from where you are and you take one small step every day, oh my gosh, imagine at the end of 3 months, at the end of a year where you are. So I love that, that advice. Thank you so much for sharing it. So how can folks connect with you if they want to learn more about your services or want to work with you? How do they reach you?
So, my Elite Leadership coaching website is eliteleadershipcoaching.org. And then my Dream Plan Go website is bit.ly/DreamPlanGoBiz. And of course, I'm on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You can find me as Andrea White. My page is public. I also have a business page for Elite Coach Andrea and Dream Plan Go Biz. And I also have a budding and I'm really excited Facebook group called Elite Power Moves for Career and Small Biz Elevation. And people can search for that on Facebook as well. But I also want to say thank you for the opportunity to be able to get to know you a little bit better over the past couple of weeks and for the opportunity to be able to have conversation and most of all sharing information with your audience. I'm always very appreciative and humbled when, you know, other people sort of allow you into their space with their tribe. So thank you very much.
Awesome. You are so very welcome. It has been my absolute pleasure in getting to know you as well and just speaking with you. And we're connected on LinkedIn now and we see each other there. And, you know, I just think that this is the stuff that makes the world go round, right? You meet amazing and fabulous people and there is no competition. There is only us, right? We are all in this journey together. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge with us. So for all of you out there, I thank you so, so very much for being here and tuning in this week. We hope to see you next week again on Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern. You can find the live stream at on Facebook at Successful Women Rock. And until next time, I want everyone out there to continue doing that one small thing. As Andrea says, take one small step every day to be the best that you can in creating the amazing life that you want and deserve. So until next time, everyone, we will see you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. Don't forget to visit us on Facebook at Successful Women Rock to check out past shows and share show ideas. And remember to join our Successful Women Rock Facebook group. Until next time, continue all that you do to rock your life. See you on the next show.